Hello, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi there.
things have come unglued already.
Oh, boy.
Good morning. Welcome. It is Friday, the 26th of April. I'm Joe Donahue, along with our roundtable panel this morning. We have Ray Graff, David Gustina, and myself. And best of all, we have you this morning because we want you to call in. We want you to help us in any way you can by answering this question.
Yes.
What are your language pet peeves? I bring this up for two reasons. One, in the email that we have gotten this week from people who have suggested topics for the roundtable panel, we've had three people who have said, can you talk about language pet peeves again? Because there's a lot of things that annoy us.
It's fun.
So we want to do that. Here's the thing. We want to get into as many people as possible. We're going to go to the news. And then at 9:35, we're going to have a Pulitzer Prize winner on our program.
Nice.
We have those from time to time on the show. We're very lucky. This man just won in the last week, won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. His name is Adam Johnson. His book is The Orphan Master's Son. And we will talk to Adam Johnson this morning about his work.
Wow,
which
that's very
awarded
cool.
The Pulitzer Prize. Wow. So there you go for that. Okay, so we welcome your phone calls. What are your language pet peeves? 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1, 1-800-34-TALK-1, and we'll get in as many calls as we possibly can. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-34-TALK-1. We have lines blinking. We'll get them on the on the board in just a second. Do you guys have any?
I do. One drives me nuts.
Which is?
People who say, you know, I could care less. Really? You could care less? No, you couldn't care less. In other words, if you...
Right.
It bothers me. And I must say it happens in my own household quite a bit. And when I correct, I'm rebuked for the correction.
Well, that's like irregardless.
In a way.
Yeah.
Except that's not a word. These are actual words.
But not used properly.
But it's often used improperly as a word, irregardless.
Okay.
Does that drive you nuts?
Well, irregardless of your reaction?
Yeah,
pretty much.
I have a reaction. You have the 7-second delay on?
My worst is try not to talk, which Ray often says to me.
Yeah. Well, that's a philosophical.
Are you... I'm feeling the love this morning. That was great.
It's chilly in here.
cool. It's to keep the content fresh. Mm. You know, I was thinking the other day about... There are things that bother me, and sure, people will say things, but you also don't want the scrubbing of the language where you lose your colloquialisms, you lose your what brings an area its spark and its flair. Mm. But by the same token, there's things that rattle me, and I want to say something, and yet I'm sure there are many things that I say that also annoy people too.
Absolutely.
And so I tend not
I try not to pick on others.
I tend not to pick on others because I know immediately they're going to say, and having done this segment enough times in my life, I know that if I say anything, they turn around and go, well, you know, you, Mr. Donahue.
Donahue, you bother me.
Yeah, this is a big problem, but I know Robert won't do that. He's in Hyde Park. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. How is everyone there?
We are fine.
Very well.
Great day. So mine is...
How many WMCers does it take to answer a phone? Three. Go ahead.
Okay. Mine is people who use the word anxious when they mean eager.
But
they're eager for something to happen and they say anxious. So, I'm not sure what the usage panel would say about that.
All right,
but,
so perfect example is the proper usage. Joe and I are usually anxious before a show. We're not necessarily eager for the show.
Well, yes.
Well, you are that too, I'm sure, but anxious means full of anxiety.
That's right.
So if you say, there's a new book coming out by Dan Brown and I'm anxious to read it, you're eager to read it.
That's what I think, yes.
Yes. Okay.
Good point.
Very good point. I don't think I've heard that one before.
No,
I don't either.
I like it.
Robert, thank you very much for weighing in. Let's go to Malcolm in Sunderland. Malcolm, good morning.
Good morning, panel. How are you?
Good.
We are a fine panel this morning.
Great. Yes, I got to say, and I hope you guys don't take this too personally, this is one that people do all over the airwaves, and I'm pretty sure it's true, so I'm asking you to weigh in on this. My understanding is that using the term entitled for a book or something with a title is actually not right. That entitled is entitlement, and that something is titled something.
Oh, I like it. Let's look this up, Joe.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not asking you this. I say that, so I'm guilty. But the reason I say it is because I've said the book is titled, and I got screamed at by an English professor from a university that I won't name, Smith College.
Really?
So,
yeah.
So I took their word for it.
Okay.
And since then, I have used it, but you know, it is it's very interesting. This is the way it is defined.
Okay.
In Oxford, which is in the Oxford Dictionary, I mean, not just in that place, to give a name or title to. So if the book is entitled,
it works.
That is what it is. Do you see what I mean?
I guess I do.
So I agree with you. I thought I was on your page until I got excoriated.
Yeah. I remember Sonny Rollins saying it on his Live at the Village Vanguard.
Uh-huh.
And so if it's good enough for Sonny Rollins, quite good enough for me.
And I felt that way about Garrison Keillor, because he says it all the time. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't read much, right?
No.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Malcolm, thanks.
Thanks very much, Malcolm. You know, I saw I went to go see that Lucky Guy, the Tom Hanks play.
Oh yeah,
sitting right next to me, Garrison Keillor.
No way,
really?
Yeah.
Did you chat? Off?
I don't think anybody chats with him. Who's there? No, you don't know. He's not friendly, really.
Ah.
Leonard is in Charlottesville, New York. Leonard, good morning.
Good morning. I think that the most valuable cultural asset at WAMC is Mr. Donahue's insightful author interviews. A regrettable part of this.
However,
regrettable is his insistent use of the term fantastic and incredible to describe the books.
Oh, do you know why that is?
Why? No, I'd like to know.
Yeah. It's a very limited vocabulary.
Well, there you are.
I'm out of words. Yeah, you're right. And I think it's one of those tics. But that's not really, I mean, that's a language pet peeve, but it's sort of by overuse, right?
Yes, it's just repetitious. But I'm glad to have this opportunity to thank you for your wonderful, insightful work.
Thank you very much. And I will, I know people may not believe this. I do store that stuff in the back of my mind.
Sure.
And when I listen back to it, I think I make a mental note and I try not to do it again.
And it's not just you, Joe. We all do that.
You
fall to these same words.
I don't do that. I use lots and lots of different words.
Good for you,
I'm
Leonard.
The only one.
I think that's fantastic.
Leonard, write me a list.
That's incredible.
And I'll put it up on my desk and I'll use them.
Okay.
One by one.
Thanks, man.
You're great. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
you're very limited.
Let's go
Joe.
To. Well, he's right, though. I do. He's absolutely right. Kevin in Saratoga. Good morning.
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
All right. We're fantastic.
All right.
Incredible. I'm wonderful.
Mine is literally when people are actually saying something figurative.
I know. This drives me nuts. Give an example.
Like, the other day, my boss said, we use literally dozens of brands, when actually we only use two or three.
Did you tell your boss?
Kevin,
I'd like to see you in my office.
Not in so many words.
Oh, well, you know what? Stand up to the boss.
Probably
stand up to the
man.
I rolled my eyes pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
Were you anxious?
No, I was all right.
The whole terms of literally and figuratively are often misused. It's something that can be a bit bothersome.
Yeah.
But
stand up to the boss, Kevin. Tell the boss exactly what you think.
Okay.
Write an email at someone else's computer. Kevin, thank you very much for the telephone call. Let's go to Penny and Oneana. Penny.
Hi.
You are on the air.
Okay. I have two things that bother me. One is I used to teach my kids the words on the average. And yet I hear people say, on average.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is correct?
Oh, okay. Well, Joe is going to Google that now.
Okay.
So we're going to hang in there, and we'll
vamp
for a moment.
Well, I don't know. Here is the... Here is what I have found out, but your question is one that is asked a lot on the internet, oddly enough.
Among many other ones.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Are they both right? Is there any slight difference in meaning? And I guess, again, this is all anecdotal, so I don't know if this is correct or not, but the people who have responded have said that they are both correct, but I don't know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's right.
No, I always say on average, and so I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, I would usually say on average, too. Yeah. And because what does the add in that, on
I
the
know.
Average?
I really don't know. I just, you know, this is what, when I was teaching, this is how I taught. But the other word is, supposedly.
Oh,
well, that's
yeah.
just a mispronunciation, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's but not it's, that it's not annoying, but it's but right? Isn't that a?
It should be supposedly.
Right.
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
This is terrific.
By the
thank
way,
you.
In the idiom dictionary from Webster's, incredible. On the average is listed as an acceptable.
Okay.
Use.
Oh, there
so
you
whatever
go.
What is
it's
for
a
whatever it's worth.
Okay.
Thanks,
all right, Penny.
Penny.
Sleep easy. Thank you very much. Let's go over to John in Kingston. Well, you don't want her upset about it.
Oh, no, of course.
Yeah. John, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, this goes right to the top. Our president uses the phrase consistently, a whole host.
Hmm.
But I've never heard him say a partial host.
Yeah.
Or it's sort of redundant, a whole host. And it's very annoying. And, you know, it was right from the very... It's actually my biggest complaint about our president, so...
Well, that's all you got.
Boy, yeah,
that's pretty good.
You're doing pretty good, then.
Yeah. A whole host. Yeah, that yeah, makes sense, yep.
That is a regular... I mean, I've heard that phrase a lot, though.
I know, right? Everybody's using it. It's a whole host. Why don't you say it's a host?
Yeah.
It is a host. It's not a whole... I mean, no, it's totally redundant. It means nothing. It's just, it's for emphasis, in a way... where the language could speak for itself.
Fair enough. That definitely qualifies as a pet peeve.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Now the reading that I'm taking here in the dictionary.
Okay. Now whose dictionary?
This particular dictionary is the Random House dictionary.
Okay, that's fair.
This says that the host is the parts and the element and the whole. Gives it that it is the complete.
Ah, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. You mean like it's a like a bunch of people are
right. So the host would be the individual problem, and the whole would be this entire facets of those problems.
All right.
Now that's how they define that. But
they may just be apologists for the president.
And
too.
You
could
know
be.
What?
You know.
And you know what?
People at Random
even
House.
If it's right, doesn't mean that it can't still bother you.
That's
it
true.
It does.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, okay.
That's completely out of ground.
It just seems so inefficient. I don't know. But maybe now I have a new light on the problem.
But so. I think your issue is maybe what John's issue was before with me, in that it's not so much of whether it's right or wrong, it's that it's so overused.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah,
a legitimate issue, yes.
Well, have a great weekend all the same, you know. So long.
You're moving poor John along.
Well, we have a lot of calls.
All right, let's go to Bill at High Falls. Bill, good morning.
I wince every time I hear meteorologists refer to the overnight.
Yeah, okay, that's
okay.
A good point. Sure.
Well, what about your skies?
Yeah.
That's the one that drives me
your
nuts.
Skies?
Yes, right. You know, that your skies now are cloudy, your temperature, it's personalizing everything
yes.
about our meteorological condition. They're not ours.
Yes,
I mean, they're not yours.
You
they're
know,
ours. They're everybody's.
This
it's
is
the
focus,
sky, for
it
goodness sakes.
It is focus group to death. They're just saying, you have to talk to somebody like they're one person, so... you know, hey, your sky is looking great today. It's a focus group thing.
Yeah, I
so,
don't like it.
But the overnight, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Fantastic.
Bill, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Let's go to 1-800-348-2551.
This is a great one. This is a great one, Paul.
Yeah, let's go to Paul in Woodstock. Paul, go ahead.
Hey there.
Hey.
This is more of a question. in a way, a whole nother drives me up a wall. It's like, shouldn't it be whole other?
No, it should be whole host.
No,
the whole
stop.
Host?
Stop. No.
Right.
I don't know what that is. You know, I don't know what...
It's sort of like a contraction of whole another.
Yeah, another's not
work,
a word, right?
I mean, you're splitting
right.
the adjective.
Yeah.
You're splitting the adjective of another and just doing another. And in fact, in literary classes, they will ask you to use an apostrophe at the beginning of the word another to indicate that it is that they are sort of bastardizing a word.
Yeah. You don't
it's like a contraction or something,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like a it right. sounds yeah, but it just somehow never really worked. I agree
with you. But it bothers me.
It's a whole other.
Right, whole other.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation.
Paul, thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
All right.
This was fun, Joe.
Thanks for
this was fun.
For including us.
I think we're going to go over to news now. But if you have a language pet peeve that you would like to share with us, and we'll do this again. Maybe we'll even do this next Friday.
I like it. Well, we had enough calls.
Yeah, we do. We could certainly sustain it. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it next Friday. And
so we think.
In the meantime, right? We're all still here. We'll see.
We're definitely anxious.
We'll go to that. And coming up next, we're going to. By the way, in the meantime. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and you can send us your pet peeve, and we'd love to hear that, your language pet peeve. And otherwise, we'll tackle this next Friday.
Okay.
Also, coming up next on the program, NPR News, and then we're going to talk to Pulitzer Prize winner Adam Johnson. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.